I want to take a few minutes this morning and talk about building a Christian character. We're going to find that Christian character is of utmost importance. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, and reading through verse 11. It's a very familiar passage to those who are familiar with the Word of God, and it tells us about building a Christian character. It begins, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as we read this, our text reveals that developing certain characteristics in life will result in an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. This tells us that this is being written to Christians, those who are children of God, having been obedient to the law of God relative to becoming his child, and in so doing, they have, through knowledge, been called to glory and virtue, and because of that, they have these exceeding great and precious promises, the greatest of which is potentially a home in heaven. But while we're here, we have to work. We have to build ourselves up. It's a worthwhile endeavor. And Christian character must be built adding with the proper materials. You know, if you go out and you just drive up to Lowe's and you back your truck up there and say, I'm building a house, just throw me some wood and stuff on here. You're going to get back and you're going to find out possibly you got some seconds, and I guess they still sell thirds, I don't know. But you're going to find that the material that is there is not that which is conducive to a strong house. The same thing is true when it comes to our Christian life. And it's not just enough to become a child of God. One has to build upon that, adding the proper materials. There's still a growth process that must occur. Notice the following about character. First, the importance of character. A lot of times people think, well, our character doesn't mean a whole lot. Well, in fact, it determines your destiny. Well, how can that be? Well, let's look in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. We're going to see as the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write to these Roman brethren, he told them that their character was going to determine where they spend eternity. When it all comes down to it, everyone has a choice in this life. Matter of fact, life is nothing more than a series of choices. And how we respond to the choices oftentimes determines the outcome. In Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 6, he says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. In other words, however you choose. That's what's going to be rendered to you. That's why the Bible teaches that a man's going to reap whatsoever he sows. Then he goes on to say, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, they're going to receive eternal life. Those who have begun that walk with Christ, those who have by patient continuance in well-doing, seeking that glory and honor and immortality, they will receive eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. And friends, that is inclusive of all humanity. At that time, there were two groups of people. The Jews, which were formerly, previously, the chosen of God to bring Christ into the world, and everybody else was a Gentile. Didn't matter what nation you lived under. Didn't matter anything else But if you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile. And therefore, all of humanity is included in this. And then he says, for there is no respect of persons with God. It doesn't matter from where you started. What matters is where you end up. And character, a lot of times, makes the difference. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, we see Jesus understanding the importance of character. As he told the people that marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Also showing us that what we do in this life will determine where we will spend our eternity. But we also must be aware of the fact that our character influences others. At least it's supposed to. I am completely blown away by the fact that those whose character should be the influencing factor are often the ones that are influenced. But let's look at one in the Bible. In Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and through 24, we're going to see Barnabas. In fact, he was called the son of consolation. But his good character influenced others. Notice it says, when tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which is at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as to Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. A lot of times when people read this, they say, well, I'd be a good man too if I was filled with the Holy Ghost. You can be. And your character will show that. But today, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, one must take the Word of God and read it and study it and learn it. And indeed, if you read and study and learn the Word of God, your character will be that which it should be. There are factors, however, in developing character. Some people say heredity has something to do with it. Like father, like son. And I know there are certain tendencies that may exist. I know sometimes that a person will sometimes look like their parents. Sometimes maybe you want to look like your dad, but you look more like your mom. Maybe vice versa. I don't know, but that's not what I'm talking about. Was Charles Manson's dad a mass murderer? Something to think about, isn't it? He did not choose for his son to go out and kill people. But Charles Manson himself chose. He was of the character that he would influence others. And heredity had nothing to do with it there. What about environment? Oftentimes people say we're a product of what we're exposed to. There's some truth to that. If we allow ourselves to be exposed to the world and rub up against it all the time and involve ourselves with it and be immersed in it, yes, we're going to come away. The old saying is you can't lay down with dogs without expecting to get some fleas. But the teaching that we have, that which we see, that which we experience, it does have some aspect toward our developing character. But will, we will see, is the most important. You know, we're creatures of choice. We tend to do what we want to do. I've had people tell me all the time, I just don't have time to do that. I don't have time to study. I don't have time to read. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. But we seem to have time to do everything else we want to do. Oh, I didn't have time to chop the wood. Mama fussed at me. Well, what was the scores yesterday? Oh, let me tell you, I saw that game. You see what I'm getting at here? We tend to do what we want to do, and of the three, will is the most important. Yes. We're going to be affected somewhat by our bloodline. We're going to be affected somewhat by our environment, but there again, we have choice. We have choice as to what our environment's going to be. And we can choose properly. Therefore, will is the most important. And so let us move to the essentials in building Christian character. We first and foremost must believe in the ultimate triumph of right. I had someone to tell me one time, you know, it's never wrong to do right. Very good. Very sound advice. Why? Because right is going to triumph. And sometimes this is difficult. Sometimes it's very hard. When you see folks the world over prospering but not serving God. When you see folks the world over doing things, claiming to enjoy life, but understand that this life is the only reward that they might have. God assures us that the bottom line for truth and right is victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. We'll see as the Spirit had the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth there. He says, "Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God." Speaking of Jesus Christ, he will reign until such time as he delivers the kingdom to God. That tells us that he's not coming to set up a kingdom. It's already set up. We're part of it. And he's going to deliver it to God, even the Father, when he has put down all rule and authority and power. And that's why the Spirit also, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, had the Apostle Paul write to young Timothy to encourage him. The Apostle Paul was nearing the end of his life, not knowing how many more days he had, not knowing how many more hours he had, or perhaps how many more opportunities that he might have to serve the God of heaven. But the Spirit had him write these things so that Timothy would know of the character of Paul and how that character was developed. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You know, it's important because not everybody wants to build a Christian character. Again, to another group in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, we have the Spirit directing Paul to write to these brethren. And he's warning them because not everyone has the same character. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." We need to understand that you're either an enemy or you're part of the body. And sometimes those who are part of the body think that that's all that there is to it. Remember our text. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and on we see. But then in verse 19 of Philippians 3, it says, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Those whose character is all about doing what they can for themselves, to benefit themselves, so that they might have a pleasant time here on this earth. Whose God is their belly, their glory is their shame. They mind earthly things. And then verse 20 shows the contrast and the difference. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself." The importance that needs to be stressed here is that we must discipline the mind. We are in control of our minds. We cannot sit back and say, "So-and-so made me do it." That's already been tried. Matter of fact, that was one of the first excuses ever made. God said to Adam, "What have you done? Well, this woman that you gave me, she took the fruit, she gave it to me, I ate it." Whose fault was it? It wasn't God's fault. It was the choice that man and woman made. And they didn't discipline the mind, but we are in control of our minds. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 tells us this, that we have the power of our mind to think, to reason. In fact, you stop and think about it, that's why man is God's crowning achievement in creation. He gave man a living soul. He gave us the ability to reason, to think. But we also must understand that we're going to pay for the choices we make. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Why? Why is it important to keep your heart, to be on guard, to build this Christian character? Because out of it are all the issues of life. You say, "Well, that's the Old Testament." That's okay. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the Spirit knows the things that are of God, the deep things of God. But the things that he's revealed to us so that we might learn, so that we might know, so that we might embrace them, and so that we might use them to build ourselves up as God would have us. To the Philippian brethren, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, not the things of the world. We're in control of our mind. We can choose what we think about. We can choose what we choose not to think about and dwell on and focus on. This is how character is built. There's an old saying, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And you stop and think about it. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. We don't want to overlook the small things. You know, every little duty done well fits and prepares one for greater service. Oftentimes people think, you know, I can't do a lot. I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't lead the singing. Can you lead somebody to Christ? Can you invite somebody to services? Can you come yourself? We see that it must start with the small things. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus told his disciples, and whosoever shall give to drink one unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. But also we need to recognize that God requires our best efforts. What does that mean? When we contemplate that particular statement, God requires our best efforts. And the Bible is very clear on this. In the Old Testament, there's an example given before us. You can turn to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 14. When they were to give of their flock, they were not to look through the flock and say, you know what? That one over there is going to sell for top dollar. He's perfect. This one over here is limping a little bit, or got a broken leg, or it's been torn by beasts. We're going to take this and we're going to sacrifice it. We're going to give it to God. And I'm afraid that's the attitude that a lot of people have today. But Malachi chapter 1 and verse 14 is an example for us. Those Jews were taught, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth in sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. You see, every act of service must be performed with diligence. Now, I'll tell you what a lackadaisical Christian is. It's a lost Christian. Think about that. Think about that when we're talking about Christian character and developing it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, we see the writer there, guided by the Spirit, said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. In other words, whatsoever you're going to apply yourself, do it to the utmost of your ability. People used to say to me all the time, well, it's close enough for government work. I had a quick retort for that. You don't work for the government, you work for me. Let's get with it. Let's do it right. Would you stand before God and say, well, that's close enough? Ask yourself, who's the judge? It's not you. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Why? There's a reason for that. And he goes on to tell us, for there is no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, while you're here on this earth, while you're alive, while blood is coursing through your veins and you're breathing in and out, you have opportunity to do good. You have opportunity to become a Christian and to build a Christian character. And when you're dead, opportunities cease. You'll have one and one only opportunity following that, and that will be stand before the judge of humanity. All humanity. There are no second chances. There are no do-overs. In fact, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about the slothful servant. Know that the slothful servant is condemned. People say sometimes, well, I have a job, I work, why can't I get ahead? Maybe it's the way we're working. Maybe it's the effort we're putting forth. For the kingdom of heaven, this is a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. You're going to recognize the story. To another he gave 2. to another one, every man, listen, this is important, according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. He gave to them that which they could handle and said, handle it. And he went away. Then he received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received the 2 also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And we think, well, you know, that's not so bad, 2 out of 3. But what about the one who went and digged? Why did he do that? We're going to see if we continue reading. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, this is a phrase that you need to focus on, because that's what you want to hear one day. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Here's another one. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Keep in mind that the one who received 2 talents did not do as much as the one who received 5 talents. However, the Lord gave to them as they had ability. And they were expected to do with what they were given. Thou hast been a faithful servant over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then which he received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Stop and think about where a diamond comes from. A diamond at one time was just a chunk of coal. Because of pressure, because of time, it perhaps can develop into a precious diamond. This person did not even think about those kind of things. He said, look, I gave you back what you gave me. No harm, no foul, right? We'll find out. The Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. He thought, well, you know, what happens if I try this? If I put the money to the exchangers and I try to get interest on it and everything and I lose it? I suspect that he probably would have been treated fairly if he'd have made the effort. And then he says, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And you think, well, what if you don't have anything? You don't lose anything. Friends, you have something. You have a soul. And it was issued to you at the very beginning of your existence. And you're expected to take it, to use it. And the abilities that you have been given, you're expected to take it and to use it. And in hearing and learning the Word of God, becoming a child of God, and then building upon that and developing Christian character. Recognize that the key word in this idea of character is service. You know, Christ didn't come to be served. That's what the Jews wanted, wasn't it? They wanted a king that they could come to with all the pomp and circumstance and all that which goes along with royalty many times. But Jesus came to serve. Matthew chapter 20, verses 27 and 28, we see this. He told his disciples, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, oftentimes we hear the idea, you know, it's more blessed to give than receive. And the first thing people think about is cha-ching, money. Right? Notice. what Paul said. And I want you to look at this particular passage in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, in context. Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, perhaps the last time that he would lay eyes upon them, giving them words given to Paul by the Spirit. He said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's because service is at the very basis of building a Christian character. There's also other things that we can do. We can choose our companions wisely. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. We ought to also remember the idea about leaven. I think folks today don't realize and understand. One time I asked Linda when we were in the grocery store, what's the difference between self-rising flour and plain flour? Well, there's a product there associated with it. It has yeast. And this is what he's talking about when leavening. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That's why this Christian character is important, that we are to have the positive influence upon others, and we have to persist in it. We also are to remember the temporary nature of material things and the eternal nature of spiritual things. And I think if we were just to do that one thing, and we are really have just started a new year, and many people have already started, and some people broken resolutions. But we say, well, what can I maybe do? What about if we focus on remembering the temporary nature of material things and the eternal nature of spiritual things? Do you think maybe that our focus would be a little more proper this year? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, again the Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit, wrote to those brethren and said, while we look not upon the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's interesting that people don't stop and think about the fact that the earth and the works therein are going to be burned up. And they fail to look at the fact that when they're gone, they worry too much about, well, when am I going to leave my children? How about the basis for building a good Christian character? Yeah, but I want them to end up better than I was. Financially, that'd be great. But a lot of times, that will hurt them. And 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 will tell you this. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But, listen to this, this is the most important phrase within this particular passage. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, we could stop right here, but I'm not going to. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, we'll see that Jesus Christ understood the eternal nature. In fact, Jesus Christ is eternal. He'd been with God from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was created by Him. But He came to earth, and while He was here on earth, there in Matthew chapter 6, we have the record of that which He said. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. People oftentimes say, you know, I just want to focus on what Jesus said. Well, look, here's what he said. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember the people that don't have time? Where's their focus? That's because in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, those brethren, those people who have obeyed the gospel, they were Christians. But then they were also reminded, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. We say, well, we're just not to worry about things on the earth. No, you got to eat. And the Bible says, if a man does not work, neither should he eat. Therefore, we have to work. But we have to prioritize things. And one of the most important things as a Christian is to build Christian character. But while we're here, we also have to recognize the importance of time. All of these things, and you say, well, it's getting very difficult. It's getting very hard. I'm going to close this here very shortly. But I want you to recognize the importance of time because we don't have a lot of it. Some of us think, you know what, I'm just a teenager. I'm just a young man. I got plenty of time. That's not always the case, friends. You think, well, I'm going to live a long time. Well, you have more opportunities if you live a long time to do what's right, to build that Christian character, to be in a right condition with God. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, for as you know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And all of this is to go to say, it is important to get an early start. I've known several men who have obeyed the gospel in the twilight years, the golden years, they say. I've come to find out the golden years is when you no longer have any gold. When you get old, your money's run out. When you're young enough to do things, you can't afford it. When you're old enough to do things, you spent the money that you should have saved. It's a vicious cycle. But it's important to start early. These people who have obeyed the gospel in their twilight years have said, I wish that I would have started years ago. Because I could have been a good influence on others. I could have helped people come to Christ. You know, the greatest athletes, musicians, and such, they start early in life. And they have this little ability. You take 2-3-year-olds and you put them on skates and you put them out there, and the one that don't fall down says, that's the future figure skater. Now let's start working. Doesn't work that way with Christians, but why should it not? When someone has a zeal and a love, we need to nurture that. We need to instruct each other. We need to be instructed by the Word of God. And let's develop a Christian character according to the Word of God. And it's the only way to make it happen. I said I was going to be quiet, and I'm going to, but I've got to ask you a question. Do you want to build Christian character? Now let me ask you a more important question. Have you become a Christian? Because you can't build a Christian character if you're not a Christian. And to be a Christian is to be a child of God. And if you are a Christian, the question is important. Are you building the kind of Christian character that will endure the storms of life? If not, there is no time like today. There is no day like this one. For a person to become a child of God, they must hear the word, Romans 10:17, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24, repent of their sins, Acts 2:38, confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10:10, be baptized into Christ, Mark 16:16, and then the work begins. Then we are to remain faithful until death. The church there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 was told, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I want to ask you this morning, do you want a crown of life? If you've not been baptized into Christ, you have no chance of getting one. You first must become a child of God, and then you must continue to work to build that Christian character so that when you stand before the judgment bar of God and the judge looks down upon you, he will say unto you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you are a child of God and you've allowed sin to enter into your life and you have not subdued that sin by rejecting the temptation, then you need to understand that you are in jeopardy. Again, you do not know how much time you have. And your Christian character is flawed. But there's great news. Not only can you become a child of God, if you're not, you can also return to Him. You must do so according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 in repentance and prayer. Today as we sing the invitation song, I'm going to ask you, if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come? Let us stand and let us sing.